Bless you. That's... Today we will be thinking a little bit more about the tipping point, and that's the name of the series that we've been going through over the last few weeks. The name of this series is, it was basically a prophetic word that was given to us as a church a few months ago, where we had a visiting speaker and they felt that we were on the verge of God doing something extraordinary in our midst, a move of God, in fact. And they felt that we were not there yet, but we were on this at this tipping point. And you know that famous movie where the Italian Job, where the bus comes over the edge of the cliff and it's just hanging there, you know? And the gold's at one end and the people are at the other, and it's just kind of teetering on the edge. And if they were to move forward to try and get the gold, then the whole bus would go over. And there's something about where we are at the moment as a church that feels very much like we're just about to tip over into something even more wonderful. And we thank God for what we've seen already over the last few months. We've seen people come to faith almost every week over the last few months, and people really deepening in their faith as they walk with Jesus. It's been extraordinary. Even on Friday, I was just thanking God because I have quite a full diary. And sometimes I wake up in the morning and I think, oh my goodness, I can see almost all of the minutes of my day accounted for before I walk into the day. And I feel a little bit depressed because my favorite moments are the unplanned and spontaneous moments. So Maggie had, it was a hot day on Thursday, and Maggie had the air conditioning on. And when she got home, she said, Damien, there's a leak under the car. And of course, it was the air conditioning. It was normal, but I didn't really know what the leak was. So I offered to drive her car and take it to the garage. The next morning, she took my car. Her car is like this. I'm kind of driving like this. But I took it to the high-end garage, got there before it opened. So I thought, I'll go to the Tesco cafe. This was like at 20 past 8 after I dropped Sam off. And I'll come back in a little while and I'll book my car in. And while I was in the Tesco garage, Mary, who is part of this church, who works at Tesco, she came over and said, oh, Pastor, it's so good to see you. There's a lady who's been coming every day, and she's been sitting outside, and she looks really sad, and just want to ask if you would have a chat to her. I've told her about the church, I've told her about you, and you're here, and she's here. Would you chat to her? I said, yeah, of course, I would love to chat to her. And so she came through, and she sat at my table, and we talked for 20, 25 minutes about Jesus. And it turns out she has some kind of faith, but she's going through some stuff at the moment. And I was able to pray with her. And Mary's given her, this lady, her number and offered, if ever she wants to come and join with us here on a Sunday, that she's very welcome to come with Mary in the car. And so we thank God for that little encounter, which was just God ordained. And I thanked God as I was walking away thinking, thank you, Lord. I wasn't planning that, but I just love to talk to people about Jesus. And then in the afternoon, I was meeting somebody for lunch, and we'd just finished, and I had a little bit of coffee left. They'd gone away, and I thought, well, I've got a bit of coffee left. I could get my books out, and I could just do a bit of preparation for Sunday. And as I did, this guy sat, just plonked himself down on the other side of the table, and I thought, that's a bit unusual. And then his wife joined him, and I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, give this guy your full attention. So I put the lid of my laptop down, and I began a conversation with him. He said, ah, so what do you do then? Which either opens up a conversation or closes down a conversation. And I said, well, I'm a pastor. I lead a church. And he said, oh, what church is that? And I said, Hope Church. He said, I'm part of the Spiritualist Church. And so we then proceeded to have a conversation about the centrality of Jesus and the gospel of grace. And I actually showed him some passages in the Bible where it forbids seeking mediums and seeking out the spirits of the dead. I showed him that the scriptures actually forbid it, because God says it's very, very dangerous. And I said, we put Jesus at the center, and the Holy Spirit is our guide. He said, oh, we don't call him Jesus, we call him the Great Spirit or something. And I said, well, you know, Jesus is the one who saves us from our sin, and sin is the issue that is troubling every single person on this planet, and the reason Jesus came to die on the cross. And for 20 minutes, I shared the gospel with this couple, and they were really listening. And I had the opportunity to pray, and then I had to move on to my next appointment. But I just thank God that those kind of things are happening, and people's hearts are opening to the Lord and to the gospel right across this town. I don't know if you've experienced that yet, but take a risk and share Jesus with someone and see what God does. Because God is preparing hearts. In fact, the Bible says that we think God just operates in churches, but Jesus said the fields out there are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. So pray for laborers to go out into the harvest field. But what that says to me is that God is already at work in the hearts of people outside of churches, and our job is to link up the parts of the story so we get to share the good news of Jesus Christ and join the work that the Holy Spirit's already doing in people's lives. So we're at a tipping point. Do you believe that? And I'm excited about what God's going to do next. Today I wanted to talk about us being a people of praise. I feel like praise is something that God is really highlighting at the moment. And I've spoken about praise recently, but God's just put it on my heart again, and I feel like it's something that we need to press into, something that we need to believe God for in terms of his presence and his power and his glory being manifest in our midst, even as we gather corporately to praise him. And I remember when I was a new Christian at Corby Baptist Church. In fact, I'll take you back before I was a new Christian at Corby Baptist Church. I went along my very first Sunday in a church environment when I wasn't a Christian. I watched people as they were worshipping. So there were some people with their hands in the air, and there was one lady at the front, Daphne, and she'd be going, "Amen! Amen!" And she used to wear a big hat, and I was like, these aren't my people. And I felt a little bit uncomfortable. And so my friend at the end of that first Sunday said, so what do you think? And I said, not sure about all. I was moved inside, but I'm not sure about all of this. I'll see you again next Sunday. So I came next Sunday, and over time, as I learned about the Lord and I learned to love the Lord and I became a Christian myself, I remember we had these hymn books, and my hands would be under these hymn books, and quietly my hands would be being raised, but I didn't want anyone to see what I was doing. And I realized that there are different levels of worship. You start as a beginner, then there's the intermediate, and then there's the expert. And so the basic, like the ground level stuff, it's kind of hands in the pockets and, you know, a little bit of elbow. And then there's one called carrying the TV. Or you might have like a big screen TV. And then there's this one, I caught a fish this big. And if you're a liar, I caught a fish this big. But there's grace, there's forgiveness. I caught a fish this big. And then there's rugby posts. And heartburn. And rugby posts, or a combination of heartburn and rugby posts. Yeah, and if you want to go one-handed, there's one way Jesus, and there's schoolroom. And if you're, you know, if you like a little bit of cleanliness around the house, you could go for the washing windows. Or you might want to wash the windows with both hands. And so you start at the very basic level, and you know, at the end you're doing YMCA. And it feels like you progress through all of these different types of worship until you become an expert worshiper. Of course, we know that's not true. But as I look around today, there are people in the room who are hand raisers in worship. Put your hand up if you're a hand raiser. Is there anyone here who doesn't raise their hands in worship? I'm just messing with you. So, worship, the praise of God, the adoration of our hearts, is really the centerpiece of the Christian story. Because we get to meet a God who loves us so completely and so passionately, is so in love with us, that he sent his son, Jesus, who died on the cross for us to forgive our sins and to give us our life back. And he puts his spirit in us, and we become born again as our spirit comes alive. And the natural response of the human heart that has been saved is to worship and to give praise and adoration to the God who has saved us. And do you know what it was like? In a moment, I'm going to transition into something that I think will really bless you. But do you remember the first time that you heard that there were four Greek words for the one English word love? Do you remember how you felt? You were like, wow, that's really cool. Who can tell me what those four words are, by the way? Eros, philio, agape, sorge. Who said that? Well done. That's great. And there are four Greek words that all have different nuances that each communicate the one English word love. Because, of course, on the one hand, I can say, I love Maggie. But I can also say, I love kebabs. And it means something very different. But there is this depth of meaning underneath the English that I grasped once I understood that there were different Greek words for our one English word, love. And similarly today, I want to share with you 7 Hebrew words for the one English word, praise. You up for this? So am I. So I'm going to just pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, that today we get to be with our brothers and sisters in your presence, praising you. For you are worthy of our praise. And we give you all the glory and all the honor. We ascribe worth to you and we magnify you because you alone, Father, are worthy of our praise. In Jesus' name, amen. So 7 Hebrew words for praise. The first word is yada. Say yada. Yada. And this Hebrew word, it actually means to shoot an arrow or to throw a stone. And it talks about something that we do as a response, the raising of hands or the casting forth of something. And so to revere God in worship with extended hands, that's the kind of thing it's trying to communicate. So in Psalm 57, verse 3 up here on the screen, and this verse will be familiar to you, it says, may the peoples yada you. God, may all the peoples yada you. So it means to shoot up arms in praise. May all the people yada you. And you just think about how the Women's World Cup recently has gone down in the UK. And so they had their biggest TV audience ever. But what happens when you see the team that you love score a goal is there's this natural instinct in you to do what? To shout and to cheer and to praise the team that has just scored the goal. And what normally happens is you're not thinking about it, but you're like, are they, yes, 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 because it's a natural instinct. So when you're 3 years old, your daddy doesn't come along to you and say, well, when the goal is scored, I want you to gradually raise your hands in the air, a bit higher. That's all right. It's a bit higher. That's fine. And to shout as loud as you can. You don't have to be trained to do that. It's a natural instinct when your heart is moved and deeply moved and stirred by something that excites you. And so in praise of God, the God of the universe, the God who created everything out of nothing, including us, the pinnacle of his creation, we get to return praise to him. And so many times we just go through the motions of singing songs, but there should be something that happens in our hearts in the presence of an awesome God, which causes us to express our worship. And if you want to raise your hands in worship, I did with my hymn book before I put my hymn book down and just raised my hands. And I learned to care more about what God thought than what the people around me were thinking. And I raised my hands in prayer. I projected something. I shot out. I threw my praise to God and something physical happened in the doing of that. And so if you want to raise your hands, you're joining with not only football fans and Wimbledon fans, you're joining with 3,000 years of the history of God's people as they yada the Lord and they worship him and praise him in that way. The first word is yada. The second word is halal. Say halal. So this has a meaning in Arabic that it's a different meaning in Hebrew. So the meaning in Hebrew, the halal in Hebrew, is to make a show, to make merry, to boast, to shine, and to be clamorously foolish. And so if you think about one of the other Psalms, so if you look at Psalm 150 verse 6, it says, let everything that has breath halal the Lord. Halal, praise the Lord. And so halal is to boast in or to celebrate in with laughter, with cheering, with dancing, because there is something that is worthy of celebration. And surely of all of the things we can think of to celebrate, God and his goodness are at the top. Amen. And so if we come to worship, we might think, well, I don't want to disturb the people around me. And I don't want to make an exhibition of myself. Well, actually, this word here means to to boast in, to celebrate, to laugh, to cheer, to dance, to make merry, to be clamorously foolish. 2 Samuel chapter 6, when David is bringing the Ark of the Covenant back from the house of Obed-Edom. Do you remember that? And he was bringing it rightly this time into Jerusalem. Not the way he did the first time, because he learned some lessons the first time, but the second time he brought it in properly. And there was praise and there was worship and there was dancing. And David actually stripped down to his underclothes, and his wife, Michal, was in the window watching him, and she was offended because he was praising God with all of his might. And then he says something so wonderful, so perfect. He says, listen, I'm maybe being undignified in your eyes, but I'm going to be even more undignified than this, because my God deserves every part of me in praise and worship. And so for us as a church, I just want to say to you, if there is something in you that wants to express your praise to God like that, go for it. Go for it. And it might be that somebody's looking on, and you know, you as we gather in corporate worship, you don't want to, you know, put a stumbling block in front of other people. But sometimes we just need to be free in our worship. And it might be that people are looking on thinking, well, that's undignified. And I don't advocate that you strip down to your underpants. But if you want to express your praise in an exuberant way, I think I want to be a part of a church that does that. I want to be part of a church that praises God with hearts that are abandoned to him. Ah, can you imagine that? So that's halal. And then, hello. And then we have tahila. Not tequila. Tahila, but that's the way you're going to remember it. Tahila. Tahila is a hymn or a song of praise. More specifically, it's a corporate singing that bubbles up. It bubbles up. So this isn't songs that have already been written. This isn't like a hymn that you find in a hymn book. This is something that God does in your heart that just bubbles out of your mouth in praise. And I've begun to hear that more and more in Hope Church. And even this morning, as I was listening to people worshiping God, people were leaving the lines that were on the screen and just expressing their love to God in their own words. And sometimes we need to do that. Let me say this about the word tahila. In Hebrew, the book of Psalms is called the Tehillim. So the whole book of Psalms is named using this word. It's the singing of a new song. It's something that comes out of the overflow. And Hope Church, if you want to praise God with a new song, go for it. If the Spirit is putting something in your heart that just needs to come out, it needs to bubble up and just spill over in praise to God, then don't feel that you're diverting from what's expected. What's expected in this place is that we praise God with all of our hearts. And if that means that tahila rises up in our hearts, that we praise God with a new song, then that is absolutely wonderful. The next word is the word tauda. I will offer to you the sacrifice of tauda. So the psalmist in Psalm 116 verse 17 talks about a sacrifice of tauda. And sometimes to praise God means that there's going to be a sacrifice on our part. There'll be times when we don't feel like praising God. It'll feel like circumstances are crowding in and we're shrinking under the weight of financial issues, and it might be a workplace issue or it might be a relationship issue, but you feel the weight and the pressure of those things, and you might even be asking yourself, God, where are you in all of that? And that is when we sacrifice our praise. We give God a sacrifice of praise, and we sing over our problem, and we sing over our anxieties, and we sing over our circumstances, and we praise God, not for what he's done yet, but for who he is and what he's about to do. Hallelujah. Sam was learning to swim when he was a baby. So he had just learned to walk, in fact. He was just like toddling along. And we were at the side of a swimming pool. You won't remember this, Sam. But he was learning to walk. And I said, listen, Sam, you've got to be really careful next to water, because you could fall in, go under the water and drown. And we don't want that, do we? And so Sam was like, no, Daddy, I'll be careful. And so he was standing on the side of the swimming pool, and he jumped, and I caught him. And then he jumped again and I caught him and I was like, this is so much fun. And he's getting comfortable with the water. He's not afraid of water and he trusts daddy. So he jumped again and I caught him. And then one time he was just sitting on the side and he just slipped into the water. And for 1 second, he went under the water. And so I just reached down under the water and I picked him out and he was crying. He said, Daddy, I drowned. And so I held him in my arms and I looked him in the eye and I said, Mummy doesn't need to hear about this. But what he didn't know, something that I knew, was that I was watching over his every move. And even when he felt like he was under the water and it was over, he was perfectly safe. And so Tauda is the praise that comes from faith in a God who will never let us down. A God who is always there and watching over our every move. And so it might be that our circumstances aren't as we would like them to be. And so we praise God over our circumstances. And it might be that our health isn't as we would like it to be. And so we praise God over our health. And it might be that our relationships aren't where we would like them to be. It might be that we've done everything we can and there's still a broken relationship. And so we praise God over our relationships. Tauda is the sacrifice of praise. And there's an amazing verse in Psalm 20 that says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. I choose to trust you. I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for what you have not yet done. I praise you because you are my God and you will never let me down. The next word in Hebrew is the word zamar. Zamar. Say zamar. And this is to touch the strings. It's to praise God with musical instruments. And I just want to honor our worship team this morning. And they don't want our praise and our honor. Their goal is to divert our praise and our honor to God. But I want to honor them this morning for what they bring and how they lead us in worship. Would you just appreciate them with me? So zamar is music, it's melody, it's sound, there's something powerful about music. Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 3 verse 15, he was given a word by God for the king. And he was about to deliver the word to the king, but he said, first bring me a harpist. And when the harpist began to play, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha and he shared the word with the king. And there's something, and I can't really describe to you what it is, but in the presence of anointed musicians and singers, when we're gathered together corporately to worship, there is a higher level of praise sometimes. So sometimes we can put on, you know, a DVD or a CD. Sometimes we can sing with no accompaniment and they're equally glorious times. But God delights in the bringing of all of these other things into the process, into the mix of worship. And so this word, zamar, is the praising of God with music, with melody, with sound, with tone, and using stringed instruments and every other kind of instruments along with our voices to praise the Lord. And then another word is the word barak. Say barak. Barack Obama. Barak. And so in Psalm 95, 6-7, it says, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us barak before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. And what this word means is to bow down in worship, to bow down, for our hearts to bow down, but also for there to be a physical bowing down in worship before the Lord. Now, interestingly, this word is also used in military settings. So there's something of, it communicates something of a bowing down in the presence of a king. But as they bow down, keeping their eyes on the king. And so to praise God using barak is bowing but keeping our eyes on Jesus. No one else in this church can give your praise to God. We might come on a Sunday and enjoy being in corporate worship together, but no one else can give your praise to God. No one else can bow their hearts before the Lord on your behalf. Each one of us has the responsibility, the joy, the privilege of coming into the presence of God in a corporate worship setting like this, and our hearts bowing in his presence. Maybe even to mirror that with the physical bowing down in his presence, keeping our eyes fixed on him. And this week, Garrel sent me a word. Garrel, would you come up and maybe share what God said to you about corporate worship?
Yeah, I really just felt, obviously the last few weeks as we've been really praising, it just, the beginning of this week, it really just lay heavy on me that actually we some of us are locked into sort of not praising. There is this sort of, it's within us, but it needs to be released. And it really felt actually there's such a liberty in this. And I think we all have this praise locked up within our hearts. But it is locked. It's like we say, well, we're not going to allow that expression to be released. And I was reminded, I looked in scripture. Remember when Paul and Silas were in the prison? And they started praying and praising. But it says a beautiful thing. Actually, everybody around them, their chains were loosed. So actually, when you praise, something that I don't fully understand happens to people around you. And it's not that the chains actually are broken off, but they are loosed. And I got this at the end of this week, and I thought, actually, even when the chains are loosed, actually, it means that person who was in chains can just step out and be released in praise. There's such a liberty. I can tell you from experience, there is such a liberty when you can just lift your hands and praise in every expression that Damon has already shared with us. Completely in abandon. I don't care what anyone else thinks. This is between me and God. And I'm going to kneel down, lift up, jump around, spin around, whatever it takes. Because actually, he is so worthy of my praise. And it is down to the individual. As Damon just said, no one can do it for you. But something happens when you start to praise that you don't understand. It happened in that prison when Paul and Silas in midnight were praising God. And then something happened with everybody within the listening area. And their chains were loosed. And I pray, and I really feel, and I'm glad Damon sort of called me forward to share, because I really felt this week that this was a word that it really sort of settled on me really quite heavy of, this is something significant. And there's not many words. Tipping point is a word that has laid on me really heavy in a good way over the last month or so. And I feel across, this is everybody, right from the people right at the top. And we've had testimony of people who sit right at the top, haven't we? Actually, from the people right at the top or people down here, actually that praise would be released. And you wouldn't care how silly or stupid you may look, because your response is to God alone. He is so worthy. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Garrel. And then the final word of these seven words is the word Shabak. Shabak. And so in Psalm 47, verse 1, it says this: clap your hands, all you nations. Shabak to God with cries of joy. And this word is a word that is about celebration. It's about volume. It's about being loud. It's about being joyful. It's about expressing the freedom that we have and the triumph that we have in Christ in a loud voice. God's people coming together, and where a song becomes an anthem and an anthem becomes a holy roar. Psalm 117 says, Shabak him, all you people of the earth. And, you know, I've been in worship celebrations where it's just like the Holy Spirit just takes over. And we start just by singing songs and our hearts are leaning in towards God. And then something happens in our hearts that becomes, the volume raises. Somebody once said to me, listen, I don't have to raise my voice. And I don't understand why these people are raising their voice because God isn't deaf. And I said to them, yeah, but he's not nervous either. And it's okay if you want to raise your voice in worship, in celebration to a God who is extraordinarily good. That is okay. It's okay to raise your voice in worship. It's okay to get excited about him. One person, a famous preacher from, he's now with the Lord, Martin Lloyd-Jones. He said, a dislike of enthusiasm can be one of the greatest hindrances to revival. And so if you are self-conscious about expressing your worship to God, if you hold back from worshiping God, then he's not getting everything that's in your heart. You're not expressing your praise and your worship and your adoration to him. And it might be that you're self-conscious because you care too much, perhaps, about what the people sitting around you think. And I always say to people, if you praise God in your kitchen when there's no one looking in a loud voice, then you can praise God when there are people around you in a loud voice. That's okay. And if you praise God with dancing around the kitchen table when there's no one looking, and you come together on a Sunday and you think, well, I would love to dance, but what would people think? Dance. Go on, I dare you. Because God deserves our praise. Not just our praise, but he deserves the highest praise. And so as we come to him to praise him, let's do it with hearts that are full of thankfulness. If you want to dance, you dance. If you want to sit and your heart just reflect on the goodness of God, you do that too. If you want to get out of your chair and you want to wave a flag, do that, but make sure you don't poke someone in the eye. Did I tell you the story about when I was in Birmingham and there was a young girl next to me and she was just like passionate about Jesus and we were just coming up to the chorus of a song and she just went, yeah, and her little finger went up my nose. I feel like I was still at the intermediary level. I've graduated now. I've gone to the next level in worship. But I just want to encourage you today, don't hold back from worshiping your God. He is good. Should we worship the Lord? Let's praise God together. Church, we're going to praise God because he is worthy of our praise. Do you want to stand to your feet?